guys, what's going on? You are listening to the Nerd News Network. Today is Friday, January 24th, 2014. And yes, guys, this is our second episode of our new weekly show, where basically I take a look at the world of nerd, such as it was from the week that was, and kind of give you my insights, thoughts, and opinions of it. Now, one of the things I do want to do with this program is try and get a variety of different stories, so I'm not always covering the latest Justice League rumor, or Batman versus Superman, or the whole Star Wars debacle. So I am going to try and switch things up as much as I can and try and give you guys a well-balanced meal of geekery that hopefully over the week you can digest. So I want to thank one of our Twig sponsors this week of BigAndTallMart.com, where if you use the code GEEK10 on checkout, you can get 10% off your entire order of $50 or more. And of course, people like OffWorldDesigns.com, BroHoof, 10% off all orders. That includes international stuff too. And GameAccess.ca, etc. Basically, go look at the sidebar. All those good people help make this show possible. So, what's going on in the world of geek this week? Well, one of the things that I am a huge fan of is I love astronomy. I love the study of solar stuff with our sun. I love all the stuff that gets announced through the Kepler telescope, and they discover new exoplanets, etc., etc. And this is actually quite timely because I think it was yesterday or the day before last, a brand new supernova was spotted. And for those of you that don't know what a supernova is when a star blows up, literally. They are some of the most energetic events in the universe, and you can see them from almost anywhere. In fact, somewhere in the universe, a supernova is happening about once every second. In our galaxy, I think it's like three times a century we see something. Now, the one that we saw that came up, I think, like I said, this was very, very recent. I think it was yesterday at 3:47 a.m. was spotted in galaxy M82, which is the Cigar Galaxy. And the main reason this is important, it's one of the brightest ones that's been spotted in the last 25 years. So brighter than SN 1987, which was spotted back in the year 1987. This one is important because it's only 12 million light years away, which means the supernova happened 12 million years ago, but that's a blink of an eye in cosmic time. And it's really neat the fact that we get a chance to see this, quote-unquote, as it happens, which means its magnitude of brightness should be getting pretty big over the next few weeks. Now, that being said, it is too faint to see with the naked eye, but if you're in a really dark spot and have a good pair of binoculars, you can easily see this. Also, with small telescopes, this is also visible. Now, in order to spot this thing, it's located just a little bit north of the Big Dipper. So, just for reference point there. So, that's really exciting, the fact that this actually happened. Like I said, just the fact that everybody caught on to this really, really, really quickly. And I think it was spotted. The guy just happened to be looking up in the sky and just lit up at that particular moment. So, you might be asking, well, what's the big deal? Well, supernovas help star development. They basically create stellar nurseries as the gas blows off of these things, and basically heavier elements are created as well, like stuff like platinum and gold, I think have been traced to supernova stuff. Plus, we can learn more about gamma ray bursts, which are these incredibly powerful beams of radiation, which if one ever hits our planet, we're essentially dead, but that's a different story for a different day. So what they're thinking is, this is a type 1A supernova, and a type 1A supernova is most often associated with a binary star system. So think Tatooine from Star Wars, the Twin Suns thing. It may be a smaller star is sucking material off of a larger star, and it's just boom, or something of that nature. I'm still a little bit unsure. Like, look at it this way. If I was writing a quiz on this, I probably would get points for a partial answer. But still, very exciting stuff to see that come across to us from the world of astronomy. I'm sure I'll be posting more about this in the near future. So anyway, let me see. What else do I want to cover? Well, I guess kind of keeping with the whole star theory, or star theme, rather, this week, there's an interesting rumor that is coming out of the Latino Review, And it's that Pixar, the guys who brought us Toy Story, Cars, The Incredibles, you know who Pixar is. They're going to be making a Star Wars movie. And people are speculating about 2017. And this will be the first time Pixar has made a movie based on an established property. Some people are like, oh, this is going to suck and blah, blah, blah. No. If you're going to hand one of the most beloved properties of all time to any company, you should be goddamn thankful it is Pixar and not, say, DreamWorks or something. And it's not to say DreamWorks is terrible, but their record's spotty when you compare it to Pixar, for example. I think this could be really cool. Now, it's not known when this is going to happen in terms of the storyline, what canonical elements are going to be included, but since Disney has announced there's going to be a new Star Wars movie every year, pretty much from now on, I'm excited for this. The fact that it's a Pixar movie means they can do a lot more stuff that you maybe couldn't do in real life, obviously through animation. I'm kind of hoping they do something either not Clone Wars. I'd like to see something that happens past the Imperial Remnant, which, like I said, we don't know what parts of the EU are going to be left and what parts are going to be scrapped. There's actually a Disney committee right now that is going through all the EU stuff, deciding what's canon, what's not, which means I'm a huge fan of the Star Wars role-playing game from West End Games, which came out in the mid-80s. And I'm wondering how much of that stuff is going to get wiped out. I'm guessing a vast majority of it. But if you look at Star Wars EU past, say, the Thrawn trilogy, which came out in the early 90s by Timothy Zahn, the Star Wars universe just got all sorts of, frankly, fucked up. Like, one of the books I hated with a flaming passion was... Actually, there are three that I hated. Children of the Jedi was, frankly, fucking stupid. Truce at Bakura was like being waterboarded. I could barely get through it. And Darksaber. They were just so badly written. And one of the authors I will defend during this time period in Star Wars canon would be Kevin J. Anderson. I really like the Jedi Academy trilogy, despite the fact the Sun Crusher is the most ridiculous vehicle ever created in Star Wars, but I digress. So, I don't know. Pixar, Star Wars, I think it could be a very cool combination. I hope... If they happen to go back and revisit the original characters, if they do, then you can bring in the original voice talent, which is great, because I think having the original characters be real life in their new ones, I think Mark Hamill's like 61, Carrie Fisher's like around the same age, and Harrison Ford is like 71. Why, oh God, why would Abrams want to put them on screen again? I mean, I think it does a disservice to the memory of how we picture these characters as eternally young, but that's a discussion for a different day, I guess. Maybe I'll start doing nerd news editorials if a topic really kind of gets me kind of going there. Another thing that I want to talk about this week, and this is where we're probably going to get into video game stuff, because, well, that's kind of what I do. So this week, a friend of mine, Jim Squires over at GameZebo, broke a story, pretty sure he broke it, about how King Studios has... The guys who make Candy Crush Saga have trademarked the word candy. This is a very... Just, you bastards. So if you use the word candy in anything that's video game or clothing, they can come after you. And they now, they have trademarked the word candy in the European Union. And this is what they've said. Now, I'm actually going to quote directly from... Jim's article. They say, we have trademarked the word candy in the EU as our IP is constantly being infringed and we have to enforce our rights and protect our players from confusion. We don't enforce all uses of candy. Some are legitimate, and of course we do not ask app developers who use the term legitimately to stop doing. Everyone's entitled to defend their IP as they see fit, but by doing so, trademarking a word is generic. Oh, wait. Sorry. Now I'm actually reading the article to you. Anyway. This is kind of stupid because now they're going after the word saga. They're actually going after the people who make Banner Saga, which is like this RPG game. And I actually got this story from Screw Attack. Sean Hines, the guy who is the anchor for Hard News, made a really good point. how about you get the hell out of court and stop, you know, trying to enforce all these really stupid instances? Like, you're wasting people's time and you're wasting money that could be put towards game development. And just, it's just such a stupid fucking thing. I really can't believe it's even a story, but it is. Now, one of the other things that was posted, this once again comes from GameZebo, from the great Jim Squires, is he put together 17 great Twitter reactions to the King's trademark craziness. This one coming from Notch: "I'm very sad to see you are turning more and more evil over time. You are hurting the industry. Please stop." This one comes from Cliff Blazinski, the guy who created Gears of War. He says, "By this logic, Epic should have trademarked the word war." Let me see. Another guy who made a game called Cannonbolt, Adam Candy Tomic, is what he put. So he put Candybolt. He's an indie game superstar. Let me see. One of the guys who created Mass Effect, he's one of the gameplay designers, Manver here. He says, "So King just trademarked the word candy because they make Candy Crush. So there goes my idea for Mass Effect Candyland." I found that kind of amusing. Let me see. What else can I bring out there that I think is kind of funny? Yeah, that's pretty much about it. But, yeah, just, the fact that they can trademark a word as generic as candy and they're going after the word saga. There's actually a funny Penny Arcade, comic on this, I think it's Today's, where it's like, there should be a hard limit on what can be called saga. It's fucking Candy Crush. You're matching pieces of candy, as far as I understand. I don't play it, my wife does. It's really just mind-blowingly, like, how the hell can you trademark that? But then again, if we're gonna look at uses of the word saga, Star Wars is a saga, Lord of the Rings is a saga, Twilight is not a saga, Candy Crush is not a saga. It's a You get my point, guys. It's pretty fucking dumb. Kind of keeping along with the world of video games, earlier this week, it was released via leaked document. I think it was over on Reddit or NeoGAF, one of the two, that Machinima and Xbox or Microsoft were promising $3 extra per CPM when you positively mention Xbox One games, include 30 seconds of gameplay, but you cannot disclose this in any way, shape, or form, the fact that you're being compensated, blah, 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 basically violating Federal Trade Communication rules. So now Xbox has come out and said, Microsoft has come out and said, "We had no idea our partners were doing this. Basically, don't look at us." And I enjoy a lot of Machinima products and shows, but, you know, one of the shows that I watched, they were like, "We are salaried employees. It doesn't matter to us, but people that are trying to get a little extra money, like the little Jimmy and his YouTube channel, could be doing this." Now, one of the stupider things, in my opinion, from working from the PR and the journalist side of this, is the fact that you have to include this hashtag. I think it was something like XBM11. It was something really stupid, and it's something so people in marketing can easily track this. They can just type that tag into YouTube, and they can go through it and sort through it and assign whatever they have to your video. You're also not allowed to say anything disparaging about the games, and you can't say anything bad about Microsoft or Machinima in your video. Now, this is what's known as a media buy. Sometimes this will happen, and developers or companies will offer you money in order to talk about their product. This actually happens a lot. But normally, it's like people getting a paid endorsement. And, like, for example, when you watch someone on TV, you see Jay-Z showing off new shoes or something like that, you will see on the bottom of the screen, "This is a paid endorsement." In gaming, yeah, you do see this happen every so often. I think back to, I think it was the Kane and Lynch thing that happened a couple of years ago. And stuff like that. Now, some websites get wined and dined by some of these developers. And I think it was Pat Contry and his friend Ian over on the Punk Effect. They were talking how they used the example of Grand Theft Auto 4. When the game came out, it was like 8s, 9s, and 10s across the board. It was universally praised, more or less. Yet a few months later, people are saying, "This game kind of let me down." Yeah, I can see that. And honestly, I have had offers personally to review games positively or to focus on this, that, and the other thing. I've never taken it because I believe my ethics are worth more than a free thingamajig or something neat. Now, for example, companies will send you cool things to make the game sound cooler. That's why sometimes you see these really cool press kits from companies like, say, Capcom with the DuckTales Remastered, the gold DuckTales cart. Or you might see... Okay, here's one, for example. I got a really cool press kit for Resident Evil 6. It looks like a first aid kit that might be distributed by the CDC. And it's got this this DVD in it that shows you gameplay stuff and stuff about the making of the game, blah, blah, blah. And it comes wrapped in this bio tape and all this crap. You know, it's basically, it's meant to immerse you in the game, and that stuff is cool. Does it affect my opinion of the final game? No, but it does give me something to tell you about when the game comes out. It's like, hey guys, I got sent this really cool thing, blah, 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 blah. Or like for Skyrim, they sent me the art book, which is really sweet. I'm trying to think of other things I've been sent. Oh yeah, okay, my wife is yelling at me from the other room. When Halo Legends came out, I got a bit of a cold. They sent me this, they actually told me, they asked me, are you going to be home on this day? I'm thinking, yeah. Are you going to be home between these hours? Yeah. And they sent me a pizza with that was Halo themed. They gave me an action figure and the DVD for it. And they're like, hey, review our game. Or not review a game. Review our movie. Check it out. And I'm like, okay. That's actually kind of cool. And I thought Halo Legends was okay. It was definitely passable, definitely serviceable for the Halo franchise. But whatever. Yeah, so it's not unusual to be offered this type of thing, and actually Boogie, the guy who, Francis, on YouTube, said this is a lot more common than you might think. So, if someone says something overly positive about something, I'm not saying be super skeptical, just know in the back it could be, but people out there will openly tell you, like, say, hey, this has been sponsored or whatever. I myself, my integrity is worth more than any little trinket or, a few dollars here and there. But if you're offering me a fully paid trip to Tahiti, I'm kidding, guys. I wouldn't do that, which would really suck, but whatever. To move on to my last video game story, it's just been kind of a slow week. This comes from MyNintendoNews.com. And CVG has spoken to an EA source that wishes to remain anonymous, who has told the publication that Nintendo was dead to us very, very quickly. And this is the quote. Nintendo was dead to us very quickly, one EA source told me when asked about why the publisher fell out with Nintendo so soon after committing to the system. It became a kids' IP platform. We don't really make games for kids. That was pretty true across the other labels, too. Even the Mass Effect title on the Wii U, which was a solid effort, could never do big business. And EA, like Activision, is only focused on games that can be big franchises. Yeah, third-party support for the Wii U is absolute shit right now. It really sucks, because I really like the Wii U. I really do. And I'm not just saying that because Nintendo sent me one last year. The year before last. I like Nintendo. I always have. And I think it's criminal that there's nobody developing for this system. You can name at least one or two games a month for other systems you're excited about. For Nintendo, the only titles I'm excited about, Donkey Kong Country, kind of. Smash Brothers, oh, for damn sure. But we don't even have a release date for that. And we don't have a release date for the new Zelda. There's nothing really on the horizon that, frankly, people give a shit about. And that's something that's going to kill Nintendo. And as I reported last week, with Nintendo's earnings in the toilet, I don't know what's going to happen. Now, there was rumors. I saw this on YouTube, and I think it was, I can't remember whether it was Screwattack, Machinima, or some other person. They're talking about there might already be a new Nintendo hardware thing called Nintendo Fusion, which might be in the works right now. So, I don't know. I really hope the Wii U can pull itself out of this nosedive that it's in. Honestly, the system should have launched with Super Mario Wii U, which it did. It should have launched with a Smash Brothers. It really should have. and maybe not a Zelda, but maybe a Mario Kart. You know what I mean? Just, you know, give us something other than fucking Nintendo Land, which is passable at best, boring at most. I mean, it's not to say there aren't good games on this system, just they're games you can play for about a week or two and you're done with them. Like, I'm looking at my Wii U collection right now. Pikmin 3, yeah, it was fun. It was alright. Rayman Legends, fantastic game. Wonderful 101, good, but once you beat it, whatever. The Legend of Zelda, the Wind Waker HD, fantastic game, but once you beat it, what's the point? Mario and Sonic go to the Winter Games. There's a reason I didn't cover that one. And Mario Party. That stupid game that came out, and I can't, it's the one that came with the extra Wiimote. I can't remember, and that's the problem. Nintendo is so forgettable right now. The 3DS is a much better system than the Wii U, and that's fucking tragic. So, I don't know, Nintendo, get your shit together. I'd love to see more EA games ported over, but look at this way. I don't picture myself playing Battlefield 4 on the Wii U anytime soon. Now, my last story, I just found this kind of funny. This comes to us courtesy of Daily Mail UK. This one says, if you see a mushroom cloud, run, but only for about 30 minutes. I'm going to tell you why it's better to run away from a nuclear blast than seek shelter immediately. Currently, the U.S. government advises you to shelter in place, but you're probably better off making a run for it. A mathematical model of nuclear fallout suggests that sheltering in place is not always the best survival strategy. If you can reach a higher quality shelter in less than 30 minutes after a nuclear blast, then go for it. If you got nothing else around you, definitely need to seek shelter immediately. So let me see. The guy that did this was a scientist named Michael Dillon. He's an atmospheric scientist over at the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory in California. And how this all story came about is some of his relatives had asked what they should do if they saw a mushroom cloud. And he says to Science Online, I realized I didn't have a great answer. The official government advice is to take shelter in the nearest and most protective building. For most people, that would be the basement of their home. But Dillon says out in California, there are not just that many basements offering little protection from fallout. Dillon's research proposes ways to determine the optimal shelter time based on information potentially available following a nuclear detonation. If your current shelter is poor and higher quality shelter is less than 5 minutes away, the model suggests that you should run there as soon as you can, Science Online reported. I'm actually just going to continue reading from the article and the quotes. If you have a poor shelter but higher quality shelter is available farther away, you should get to that high quality shelter no less than 30 minutes after detonation, depending on the size of the city. If everyone follows his advice, it could save between 10 and 100,000 lives. Basically, if you're outside for too long, fallout is bad. Fallout breathing shit in your lungs, and there ain't no radiation shields, really. Now, there are people who disagree with this. The guy who disagrees with them is Lawrence Wien, and he's an operations research scientist at the Stanford University in Palo Alto, California. He says, I disagree with the conclusion. He fails to account for several important issues that are vitally important for policy recommendations, such as the most injured, confused, and panic-stricken people likely won't be able to execute a flawless evacuation strategy. My plan is to get the fuck away as quick as I can, so I don't breathe in nasty shit. In fact, me and my wife do have a bug-out bag ready to go, but that's more in case of zombies as opposed to a nuclear apocalypse. You can tell which one we think is more likely to happen. But anyway, so that's the news that the week that was. Couple other housekeeping announcements. We now have a prototype Facebook page, which you guys can now visit, as me and Jamie are doing that more on a regular basis now. And we always like to keep you informed as to what's going on in the world of gaming, our opinions, basically, be they informed or retarded, we'd still want to share them with you. What else was I going to say? This month's topic show is Hulk Hogan's Cinematic Retrospective. Now, there is the possibility of this show being delayed simply because Scotty is dealing with some family stuff, and it's going to be me and him doing the show For sure. And next month's topic show is going to be RoboCop in honor of the remake, which I'm still not entirely sure of. So anyway, if you guys want to get involved with the show, definitely want to welcome your feedback at feedback@thisweekingeek.net, subject line, nerd news. I still have to contact Skype about getting the voicemail fixed, so I do greatly apologize. I honestly think it's because my Xbox One has me constantly signed in the Skype, which is kind of a pain in the ass, and it notifies me even when I'm watching a movie, and I've shut the program down, so I don't know. So anyway, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live free or die hard, and thank you for listening to the Nerd News Network.
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't make it!
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my god, there's snot on my face!
And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
You gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh my gosh, freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.